Hey everyone, what's on your mind today? What's your tea? Hello and welcome to Bear It All with Jeff. My name's Jeff and I'll be taking you on this journey as we listen to people just like you and me share their thoughts and opinions on certain topics. Today we're going to talk about culture and fit it in with my friend Stephanie Cruz.
Heyo!
Hey Stephanie, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It's a little rainy, you know. It's a nice weather to just cuddle in bed and just watch some Netflix and just cry to sleep.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because it's us.
Oh, God. So culture and fitting in. So what's your thoughts on that?
Honestly, with culture and fitting in, it's honestly a journey, really. Growing up as a little kid, it was weird. Being the only child, like, you don't have anyone to really rely on, minus your parents, mm-hmm. which that's fine. But, you know, like, with siblings, you get to experience their opinions or experience their what they're going through in school.
Right. Let me just let you know, you're not missing anything. I'm just kidding. I love my brother and sister, and my life wouldn't be the same without them. So I understand what you're saying, but just know that, like, every sibling always was like, I wish I was a single child at one point in their
life. That's what everyone says. But I'm like, you guys don't understand. It's lonely. It really is very lonely. But I mean, you do have your friends here and there. But like, I mean, you get to fight with someone.
Yeah. Or they get in trouble for you, right?
Take the blame.
So let me tell you this one story real quick about siblings. So one time we were camping up in Big Sur because my dad was working up there. And my sister did something and my mom was like, I'm going to spank you. Like it's going to happen. And my sister like kept going. Like we were all messing around. But my sister like kept going. And then... And my sister's probably listening right now laughing because she knows what she did. So my mom went to like paddle my sister and I was saying, ow, 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 because we were sitting next to each other. And my sister also was saying, ow, ow, ow. My mom thought like, oh, okay, I'm like paddling my older sister, not me. And then my mom was like, looked at me and was like, why are you crying? And I was like, because you're hitting me and not her.
It's like, it's not fair.
To this day, my family talks about that story and laughs about it, and I just sit there quiet.
Like, we all have that household as, like, the paddle, or we have the belt, or we have, like, this, like, horse type of thing that, like,
right.
You, like, what is up with that?
Right. Also, I want to say, like, there's a difference between disciplining and child abuse, so I want to put that out there right now. Like, my family did not abuse me. There was discipline that took place for actions that were bad.
Oh man, I was a bad child. I would do some things that my parents were like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I remember this one time in middle school, it was raining, just like this day, and I was walking home, and I get home and my dad's at the door. He's super serious, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is he so serious? And I'm freaking out. And he's like, why do you have 300 plus text messages on my phone?
Ooh! Wow!
And my dad was like, who are you texting? What is going on? And it was like this boyfriend that I had back in the day where I was like texting him. And I was like, it's a friend! It's a friend, Dad! Like, it's nothing! It's nothing! And he was like, are you serious? Are you telling me the truth? And I'm like,
yeah,
yes,
if he can't look at the text messages.
Exactly. It's funny because some of my parents are a little crazy on the crazy side, and my dad was one of them.
But I mean, okay, but you have to look at it from his perspective. He said, why is there 300 plus text messages on my phone?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to look at the text messages.
He's like, what is going on here? Especially during that age. I mean, I get it now. He didn't want me to date, but I was like, no, I want to date boys. Why not? I was a crazy child.
Right. And also,
he got the truth out of me.
Right. And also 2 years ago when this happened to you. Yeah. Because I'm older than you. So I actually don't know when this happened. But it probably was like when you were in high school, right?
No, it was in middle school.
Dang, girl. You got a boyfriend in middle school. Okay, back in my day, when I was in middle school, I had this little tiny phone and I had to do like, was it 10-9 or whatever it's called? Where you had to like click 10 times just to get one letter?
Yeah.
And then I upgraded thinking I was the coolest person in the world getting a Razer phone. And I was like, yeah, I got a silver Razer phone. What is up? And then now I have my my iPhone that I have now. And I'm like, wow, how did I function back then?
I didn't even have a phone back then. I had to like steal it from my parents and then do like sneaky sneak of texting friends or like boyfriends during that time. It was interesting growing up. I was just trying to connect really hard with people.
Man.
Trying really hard.
Hashtag single child life. Trying to connect real hard with people. I enjoy that statement.
Oh, man. It does bring good memories. So, like, thinking it back, I'm like, at that moment, I was, like, freaking out and crying and, like, going through the punishment. But going back, I'm like, damn, Dad, no matter why you have, like, gray hairs because of me, I'm so sorry. I apologize now. But back then, it was just weird growing up because they were always very strict. My dad was on the strict side, but he was still, like, lenient, like, get in the times type of thing. Like, you can still, like, go out, but let me know.
Get in the times.
But my mom was very strict and very, like, Catholic and very, like, religious. So she was like, no, boys, no, you can't go out at this time. You can't have sleepovers. Mm-hmm. That scared me. For the audience that doesn't know, some lights turned off.
Yeah. So. It's cool. Our ghost friends are coming to listen about Culture Infinite.
But really, during that time, it was just so weird. It was just trying to, like, why is it that they're, like, so strict? And I see all these other, like, people at school, like, they were able to, like, have these sleepovers. Mm-hmm. It was normal for them to go out. And I really honestly wanted that. And it was really just going to school and then coming back home. And so one time, this happened in middle school, too. I was feeling very rebellious, and I was like, you know what? Let me just go down the street with my friend and get some freaking donuts.
That's so rebellious of you. So rebellious. Donuts, we're so bad. I thought she was going to say have someone buy cigarettes for us. Or I love that.
But that was me feeling rebellious. And we ended up going. And then I think afterwards we got donuts. We were like, oh, let's go to the store and like look at some clothes. And then I see my godmother, and I'm like,
ooh. Like, about to go down.
My godmother lives right next to me, so I was like, oh, hell no. I'm already I already know what's going to happen. So she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing. I'm just here. And she's like, where's your mom? And I was just like, not here. I was just like, I already know I'm going to get caught right now. There is no point in trying to lie. Mm-hmm. And she just took me home. She took me to her house, and she was like, we're just going to wait till your mom comes home. And I'm like, God. Gonna get the belt.
Freaking godmothers.
I was like, you can't have my back this one time. Oh, right. Like, come
you
on.
Can't be a cool godmother.
I was like, damn. But she did feed me pozole.
Okay, so she was a cool godmother. Okay, I'm down with that.
Oh, but honestly, just growing up, just fitting in, it was just like I was trying so hard to like fit in with other people too. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, like let me be rebellious and go out, even though I knew I shouldn't have. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that like you being rebellious was like your way of fitting in because you thought that's what like fitting in was back then?
Honestly,
when you were younger?
Yeah, like looking back at it, like it really, I felt like that was like fitting in, like, oh, they're going out, I should be going out too.
Right, or if this is what teenagers do.
Yeah. And I mean, during that time, it was just like, I just want to get out of the house. I just want to like experience something, you know, like the norms of like going to parties and type of things. Like in high school, like I didn't go to any parties. It was very, like, sad, but now that I think about it, I'm like, I don't actually regret it that I didn't go to those parties. Because,
right.
I mean, nothing really good came out of it. It's just getting messed up, drinking, and I'm like, I shouldn't be drinking during that time, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why there's a rule, but I mean, I get it. People just want to be rebellious.
Right, because they think they're adults. Yeah, everyone is so, I think in the culture of being, like, a kid or a teenager is, like, adults always say, like, oh, go to your room because adults are talking, or go play with the other kids because adults are talking. And so in your mind, you're like, well, I want to have these conversations. Like, I want to grow up. And so, like, we're trying so hard to become adults that when it happens, we're like, oh, God, I really want to be a kid.
Yeah. You really wish going back. Like, now that I'm, like, an adult, 25, it's weird because I'm just like, I wish I was in high school, honestly. Like, you were so stress-free. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to really worry about. All you had to worry about was homework, which was, like, you do it after.
Yeah.
And then sports, if you were doing sports during that time, like, that's all you had to worry about was training. There's nothing, like, bills that you had to worry about. And I think my parents did a really good job of prepping me for the world, because a lot of kids don't have that. They don't have the talks of a funeral or what happens if, like, I pass away. What are the goals that we're going to do in order to make sure we don't lose what we have? And I think my parents did a really good job of raising me in that, because in our culture, it's really about staying quiet and just not talking about things. And something with my dad that I really do appreciate is that he was very like, no, we're going to talk about this. Like, even though it's hard, we're going to talk about it, because you can't go bouncing around and just not talk about these sort of things.
Yeah. I also think that's part of Hispanic culture. And in me, you, and our friend, we did the Day of the Dead presentation for some people that we work with, just to kind of educate them on that. And I think that that was a good thing for us to do, because we shared with them that death is, like, it is a thing that people have to talk about. But in Hispanic cultures, they make it a fun thing. I mean, it is a sad thing. There is a day also where they're, like, somber. But it's an educational, a fun little educational thing for kids to not be afraid of it, right? So I'm happy that you brought that up, because it is something that people need to get past and start talking about, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Like, we're going to pass away.
Yeah, unless they come with a cure of, like, living forever.
Yeah, which I don't want that. Like, I don't want to be the one that is like, oh, I'm going to take this shot that makes me live forever, but then someone I love doesn't do that, and then, like, I have to go through the pain of watching them pass away. Like, I would rather it be like, like that perfect moment in all the movies where they're holding hands and they're like, I love you, and my life was amazing. And then they both pass away at the same time. I mean, perfect world.
It's like, that would be lovely to pass away like that, just in my sleep with my other significant other. That would be great. Yeah. But who knows?
Right. But then also, like what I just said, like about the movie thing, movies play a big part in our culture too, in how we perceive the world. It definitely has made me feel that my life is an action movie at points when I'm driving on the 405 freeway.
Right. It's crazy though, movies do play a big part of culture, because growing up, high school was like, I'm gonna get a big locker, because that's really what they talk about. Like, high school, you have the hallways, you get these big lockers, you know, you have the jocks and whatnot, like messing with the nerds. And then I get to my high school and I'm like, not like I pictured it,
right?
But
okay,
nice.
Right. So, and also I didn't like the fact that, like, and we're talking about, like, I'm gonna say, like, late 90s, early 1000s. That sounds weird saying 2000s. Like, those teen, not another teen movies, are teen movie type of films where they, like, really stuck into those stereotypes. I'm gonna, like, say, like, Hispanic stereotypes. They made them all look like cholos or cholas, are, like, they were doing drugs. Like, and I'm like, what? Like, I went to high school and, like, I'm gonna say maybe like 75% of the people in my school were Hispanic, including myself, and we weren't like that. I didn't see that.
You're like, whoa, this is way off. Way off. What's going on?
Yeah, so, like, when we go to high school and we say, like, we don't see that, it's like, we're perceiving that, like, oh, that's high school life, because that's what Hollywood is feeding us. And so it's like, that's, I mean, I'm happy it's not like that, but it's like, can we be a little bit more realistic? I know people live for the drama, but, like, do you have to make the Hispanic person the chola or cholo? Like,
yeah, you see that a lot. I mean, even with, like, other movies, it's just, we don't have that many minorities. Like, it's, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there is a lot more white people on the movies. And, I mean, I'm very thankful now, like, we're growing up and, like, we have that, like, some minority movies are, have been coming out. And it's great, because now we are getting, like, more, like, attention to us. And it's something like, it's like, hey, like, this this is normal. Like, this shouldn't have, like, taken so many years to get here.
Right.
And, like, the stereotypes is like, no, we can do other things. Like, it's not like the, you know, like the housemaid. Like, it's, I'm like, what the heck is up with that? Like, about.
Yeah, why is everyone like that? I don't like housekeeping. No.
Like, no, boo boo. I'm not here cleaning your house.
Hello, I'm over here doing your taxes right now. I'm not a housekeeper. I'm not mowing your lawn. Like, ah. Oh, which, real quick, when I went to church, most of them were actually like, that statement made me think of this. Most of them were not minorities. And they used to like tease me, like, but in a friendly tease, but they don't realize, like, people don't realize what you say, like, really affects someone. And they would be like, haha, go mow my lawn, Jeff. And I'm like, what?
Like, how do I feel about this right now?
Like, I have the whitest name, Jeff. But, and so, like, this is, like, where it comes in, like, for me fitting in was, like, in, at church, like, I didn't fit in because I was too Mexican. Which a lot of people are going to be like, no, that wasn't the case. But it's like, that's how I perceived it. Like, you guys are doing Hispanic jokes towards me. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. But then when I went to school, because I'm half white, I was too white.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, can I find my identity? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Like, am I Hispanic? Am I white? I'm both. But it's like, how do I find that balance?
Yeah, like, finding that balance for me when I was growing up, it was hard too, because my parents, they came to the United States, I think, in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first ones to come over here, minus from my grandma, from bringing my mom. But, I mean, they had a civil war, so they had to leave the, you know, El Salvador, and they couldn't stay there any longer. There was no way to really build a life out there. And my parents, they wanted to build a life. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because they didn't know each other, but they came both from El Salvador, and they met here in the United States taking English class. But because of that, majority of my family is in El Salvador,
mm-hmm.
and it's just my parents, my grandma here in the United States. And so always traveling to El Salvador, it was weird because they're like, you know, I would just talk about like certain dance moves that were like the hype during that time,
mm-hmm.
especially during middle school, because that was like what it was all about. You go to the pavilion, everyone's dancing, like, yeah, like, you know, getting into it. But, like, when I would go to Salvador, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, here it's, like, all about cumbia and, like, you know, like, the dance moves here. And it's just like, what are you, like, you're weird. You don't talk in Spanish either. You're weird.
Right. But really, that's their culture, yeah. Right? It's a clash of the cultures, yeah. Happening.
It was, and it's just, like, even the language barrier, it was, like, a culture clash, too. Because mm-hmm. they're like, you don't sound Salvadoran. Because Salvadorans have very thick accents. And I don't have that. I have, like, whitewash with type of like Mexican.
Girl, you American.
Like, I'm like, no, like, I sound horrible. I mean, I could do a preview. Nah. Don't want to embarrass myself.
No. Let's stop now. I completely understand that because I have gotten like people saying when they ask like, oh, like, what cultures like do you come from? And I'm like, well, I'm American.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh. And I'm like, but my mom and father's backgrounds, like, my dad's white, like, the melting pot of America. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many different cultures in there. I think I need to do, like, that, what is it, 23andMe thing? Yeah. Just so I can understand. And then my mom's Mexican. And so they're like, well, you don't sound Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is that, like... Am I supposed to sound a certain way? Like, did I not get the memo?
Like, I thought I was doing it right. I guess not.
I thought, like, my voice was fine. Yeah, but...
I think it was in high school where I loved this teacher so much. She was, like, the greatest teacher, Spanish teacher that I had.
Mm-hmm.
She was so heavily involved with us and wanted us to do our best and really... you know, was, like, all about, like, you know, the altar of Dia de los Muertos. She would include mm-hmm. us. She was, like, bring your photos, like, bring something for the altar. And, like, I loved how she decorated the class and made us feel special whenever we went in her class. I remember she did yell at us one time because we were being, like, you know, just being kids, mm-hmm. giving her a hard time. But
right.
besides that, she took us on a trip. And I remember, like, it was, like, a Chicano trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought, like, when I was going to classes, I was like, yeah, I belong, like, finally, like, I belong. But then I went to a session, and they were like, oh, it doesn't really count for Salvadorians. Like, you guys are not really, Chicanos. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, I guess Chicanos are more so for, like, you know, Mexican people. And I was just like, oh, like, I really thought I really belonged, and it really was sad at that moment. Like, they kind of excluded us, and I was just like, and then I come to find out that, you know, Mexico and El Salvador, like, the people, like, we do clash within each other. Some. Not mean, all,
okay, but... also...
we crazy, yeah, I know.
Okay, but also, like, Mexican culture clashes with... like... I when I lived in Florida, I didn't realize there was a war going on, like not a like a literal war, but like more of a mental war between Puerto Ricans and Mexicans also. Mm-hmm. Like, why is everyone not like us?
I'm like, we should be all together.
Exactly.
Like, supporting each other. I think that's like something like I see it in our culture and like where we don't fit in because we're like, oh, like this is us and we only stick to one. Mm-hmm. Rather than like, no, like, we all have something in common. Even in our foods, we all have something in common. Like, mm-hmm. all right, the tamales. Everyone does tamales.
Hell yeah.
Like, Salvadorians have their own ways of making tamales. You know, mm-hmm. Mexico, they have their own ways of making tamales, but they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mexican food. I can eat it. I mean, and it sucks because for my family, they don't like spicy food because they're not used to it. But I'm like,
is that like a El Salvadorian thing? Like, not spicy foods?
Yeah, like, they don't use the spices of, like, you know, like, the chiles, even though that's what, like, really gives the flavor, but they don't really use it. Like, when I first had my trip going to El Salvador, like, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, hot Cheetos, like, where are they? And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, hot Cheetos, like...
they're like, hot Cheetos? No, regular Cheetos.
They don't even have regular Cheetos!
Oh, no!
But, like, going on that trip, I was like, oh, whoa, like, okay, let me step up and, like, take a step back and see what they do have. Mm-hmm. Like, the type of chiles they would have. I remember this bottle, like, I would put it in mango. I was like, this is not even spicy. I need something more spicier. And they're like, you're crazy. Like, what do you mean? This fireball yeah. comes out of my mouth. Like,
yeah, I definitely would enjoy that because I'm not too... fond of spicy things. I can eat spicy stuff, but it like upsets my stomach. Mm-hmm. So I would love Salvadorian food so much because it's not as spicy.
It won't give you pain.
Right.
You won't have to suffer through it.
Mexicans in general, if you don't like spices, they're like, what's wrong with you?
Like, you're like, better what eat does that this. Mean? Yeah, they're like, you better eat this. Like, you're not getting up from the table right. when you don't finish this. And if you don't eat it, they're like, they hate you because they're
yeah,
like,
yeah, because that's another culture thing. It's like disrespectful, like, not to eat their food if they put it in front of you. And let me tell you, Hispanics love to feed their guests.
My grandma was one of those. She does not have, like, a limit. She'll give you a whole bowl of food, which is great. Like, don't get me wrong. That's very nice of her being generous mm-hmm. because, I mean, you never know who can walk in the door and, you know, doesn't have that luxury.
Right.
But growing up, my grandma would take care of me when I was in kindergarten to, like, second grade. And, oh, my God, like, she would feed me, like, if I was an adult. And I was this tiny little thing. And I'm like, Grandma, I can't finish this. And one time she went to my school. And she went during my lunch, sat down with me. She was like, you're going to finish this food. And I'm like, Grandma, like, what do you mean? And I was like, I can't finish this.
Oh, what a grandma move.
I was so embarrassed at the time. But now thinking back, I'm like, who would do that? And I was like, you know what? I might do that to my child.
Right? Back, I'm like, no. She's like, gotcha.
But, I mean, you never know who can come through the door. And I think that's why they're very generous. Mm-hmm. Because especially, like, my parents, like, they... came from a war and they did see some like heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't even talk about, like, even my dad to this day, he's like, no, like, don't really ask your mom. And I'm like, why not? Like, I want to learn more. Like, it's not that I want to, like, you know, I guess learn about, like, all the bad stuff, but I want to learn that history and know what my mom went through. Like, there mm-hmm. are some topics where finally as an adult I have gotten that conversation because we have better a relationship mm-hmm. rather back in the day where she's like very strict and I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I did have to go through, like, a trial and error of, like, you know, like, I had to be on the streets. And it was very hard going through that, being on the streets, because, you know, my mom just was like, F it, like, go live in the streets if you don't like it then. And me being, like, you know, a teenager, I was like, okay, like, this is what it's come to. I'm gonna go. Like, it's okay. I'll figure it out. But mm-hmm. that was the roughest nights, I think. You know, just thinking about it, just, it wasn't great. I was in danger, honestly. Like, I put myself in danger.
When we're younger, we were hard-headed, and mm-hmm. We think that we know everything, and We think I can fit in the world right now. Like, I don't need like anything in my background. And then you go out there and you're like, oh crap, like.
Like, no, I do need you.
Yeah, wait, where do I get food? Where do I get my bed? Mm-hmm. Like, where do I get anything? I still need to learn these things.
Yeah, and like the adult world, I mean, it's very tough. It's very cutthroat. And I know a lot of people don't have that luxury of like leaning in, you know. It's very like you have to make it or break it type of thing, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's kind of true. Like, you do have to go through that, you know. You have to see what's going to happen. You have to go through those trials and errors, and a lot of times, you know, you have to go through it. 20s can be flourishing and your 30s can be downhill.
Oh god, don't tell me that. I just turned 31. Okay, I know what you're saying though. I think for me, when I turned 25 is when I stopped being a little, I'm going to say, like, punk ass, like, to, like, my parents.
Yeah.
I turned 25, and then I remember, like, going to my mom and dad and being like, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm sorry that I was such a little jerk. Like, I understand, like, life now, and I'm still, like, understanding it every day, and you guys were just looking out for what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't understand. But now that I had, like, I hit 25 and can, like, reflect on my life as an adult.
Yeah.
I was, like, I think I'm, like, I was good. But it was, like, there was those little things that you do that, like, drive your parents crazy.
Yeah.
And then you don't understand because it's, like, everyone else is doing it. It's part of the culture. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is doing this. How come I can't do this? Yeah. And it's, like, your parents went through that. That's yeah. why they're making sure you don't have to go through that. I remember my mom was saying when she was a little kid, she said, like, she didn't have school supplies, and she didn't have, like, her parents weren't as involved in her, like, activities that she wanted to do or in her school life. And so my mom, like, made sure that we had everything we needed. Like, we would go back to school shopping. We would go back to school shopping for clothes and supplies for school. And she made sure that everything that was on the list we had. And then on top of that, she would make sure, and my dad would do this too, they would go to the teacher and ask, like, what are the kids missing? And mm-hmm. then they would offer supplies, like, to everyone in the school, well, in the class.
Yeah.
Eventually got to the school because my mom became the PTA president because she got so involved. And honestly, it was like, when we were kids, that was her calling mm-hmm. for my mom. Like, that was her, like, she learned from the culture that she grew up in and the struggle of trying to fit in, that she didn't want other kids to go through that.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that because, like, she showed me, like, you always give back to the community mm-hmm. and you always help those in need. And so that's part of my culture growing up. And I know a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like helping out. And for me, like, you know, sometimes I, like, come to work and I'm just like, hey, like, here's some 7 Leaves, or bring some donuts, or, like, hey, like, you, like, something. I always treat something during the times that I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because they're like, why are you being so nice? And I'm just like, because some people don't have the luxury of, like, getting
right.
a donut. Some people don't have the luxury of, like, getting, like, a drink. And that's why sometimes I do it. And I'm like, I don't care about the money because, mm-hmm. I mean, I trust people are going to give back to me when they have their chance. And I always think about that. I'm like, it's you know, I'm not thinking about it like you need to pay me back.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you that benefit of doubt. Like, you know, you might be going through something and you yeah. never know what someone is going through.
Yeah, we're here to help each other out.
Yeah. And especially, like, with our culture, like, I feel like that's something that we do, is, like, we're going to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we kind of have to keep the secrets behind closed doors, which is really weird to me. Like, why is it that we keep certain secrets behind closed doors,
mm-hmm.
but we're willing to help? I think that was another, and just upbringing of mine was just keeping secrets. I mean, even from, like, being small, like, 5 years old, like, I went on a trip to El Salvador, like, my first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something happened to me where my own family member was trying to do something to me. And, you know, he threw me on the bed. And, like, my dad was like, oh, hell no. Like, what the hell is going on? Because he heard the ruckus of, like, you mm-hmm. know, things moving apart.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's like, what the hell's going on? Like, you know, like, trying to, like, get him off. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're crazy. Like, she's your cousin. Like, what are you doing? And, mm-hmm. like, I remember, like, I didn't process it because the way, like, it was happening, I was like, oh, like, I need to keep this a secret. I can't really tell anyone, like, what's going on. And so I really grew up with that of, like, keeping that secret within me. and didn't really want to share, but when I grew up later, I saw it happening to someone else as well, and mm-hmm. I was just like, oh heck no, like I can't stay quiet now.
Yeah.
And so I actually went up to that person and I was like, no, you have to tell your parents, like that's not cool, like what's happening to you? Mm-hmm. And they ended up just staying quiet. Mm. Later down the line, it happened to me, where they were actually starting again to do stuff to me. Because my parents would like leave me at their friend's house because they were working. They were very mm-hmm. hardworking. They would work, you know, Monday through Friday, provide for me. And that's something that I'm very grateful for my parents, that they provide a roof over my head. They always gave me food. They always gave me supplies. Like, they made sure to take care of me. But then that ultimately became a kind of like a downfall of mm-hmm. it. And so...
It's like you don't know what people are or how people are until mm-hmm. you're behind closed doors with them.
Yeah, and that was the hard part, is just like that was happening to me because of that person stayed quiet. And I stayed quiet as well. Like I have to admit to that, because it honestly was that time of like I was like 10 years old.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was 10 years old and I was like, that was one of my dad's closest friends.
Mm.
Like since childhood, and that mm-hmm. like, and like I remember like till this day, like he was like, you can't tell him, like if you tell him, like I'm gonna kill your dad. And I was like,
God.
Whoa, like what do you mean you're gonna do that stuff? Like what do you, like I was just like, I felt so trapped. And I think that's another thing, like trying to fit in, it's like not a lot of people know what you go through. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you try to like fit in and it's just like, well, this is like the damage that has been done to me, and I'm just trying to like find people that I can trust, find a community who mm-hmm. I can trust in, because even if I can't even trust my own family or my own family friend of like so many years that my father knew, it mm-hmm. was like, how do I trust people, you know? But that's something with like fitting into. It was just like very tough growing up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
We're going deep.
Yeah, that was, I mean, thank you for sharing. Because that's part of culture, is a lot of people say, like you said, like, just be quiet.
Yeah.
And no, don't be quiet. Like, I will be the first person that's like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Like,
wait. We're not having this today.
Yeah. No. And I think that's because my mom and dad, like, the way they are, they're the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that. Like, them sticking up for people that were afraid of, like, repercussions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing, is, like, people are afraid that something bad's gonna happen, like that guy threatening your like father's life.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like,
or they're afraid of what other people are gonna think.
Oh,
because
yes.
They're gonna be like, oh no, it was the girl that was her fault. Like she was, you know, like I don't know, wearing mm-hmm. something revealing. Right. It's like,
it is 2021.
Like, 10 years old. Like, what am I revealing? Like that. Like, and it's so crazy to me too. Like a mm-hmm. lot of like Diaz, you know, are kind of like, what are you wearing that to the party? Like that's too revealing. And I'm like, I'm going to a family party. What you mean this is revealing?
I'm wearing a shirt and jeans. What? First of all, anyone has the right to wear whatever they want to wear mm-hmm. to express themselves.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's different. And so, like, I think people from older generations, like, their culture was so, like, intense with that it's just, like, they're looking at us and they're like, oh my God, this is a generation of the lost kids. Like, they don't know what they're doing. It's like, no, like, you guys were oppressed by your culture and trying to fit in and quote unquote fit in the status quo mm-hmm. that you lost yourselves. Like, we're not lost. Like, we know who we are mm-hmm. and we're expressing that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, even with tattoos, like.
I love tattoos.
I need another one.
Same.
But honestly, with tattoos, like, that's another thing too. Like, with, like, I'm going on a trip this year, and I know going to El Salvador, like, it's gonna be a little kind of hectic because now I have a tattoo, and that's actually deemed very bad out there because mm-hmm. they see it as like, oh, you're part of a gang. And I'm like, these flowers, what you mean?
Oh, King of the Lotus, watch out.
But like just their thinking is like, what do you mean? Like, it's just a tattoo. But here, because in the United States, it's very normal. Like, mm-hmm. you can, it's just a way of expressing yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's something, like, I remember coming home And I had to show my mom because I actually hid it for 2 months because I was like, I can't show my mom
good
right
for
now.
You. I showed my mom like immediately.
I showed my dad the day, like the night that I came home, and mm-hmm. I was like, hey dad, like this is what I got for my birthday.
He's like, oh, your mom's not gonna like that.
Yeah. He was like shaking my hand, but he was like, it looks good. It looks good. It mm-hmm. doesn't look bad, but. Was like, just, you know, you're gonna have to break it to her.
Yeah, that's a you thing, not a me thing.
He's like, I'm not in this. But it was just funny, like, just going up to my mom, like, hey mom, and I'm just taking like my sweater off, and she finally sees it, and I'm just like, so yeah, I got a tattoo. I was like, I'm not a bad person. But it's crazy how I automatically reacted to that, like, I'm not a bad person because I got mm-hmm. this. Because I was like, that's always something that I thought she would see me like, oh, you're a bad kid because now you have tattoos. Like, you must be doing something. You must be doing drugs or like, you know, going down that path. But she was actually surprisingly like, oh, it looks nice. Like, why'd you get it? And I was like, oh, well, I got it like, you know, flowers because I was like, you like flowers, you know, like you have your little garden like at home. And so I was like, that's why I got it on me. That's my first tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
But it was crazy. I was like, I'm going to get my ass beat. Hopefully not, but
yeah,
but it didn't happen, so
yeah. I remember I was scared to show my parents, even though on the first day I showed them anyways. And it was mainly because I remember when my brother got his first tattoo, my mom like smacked him on his arm where the tattoo was.
Like freshly,
like before she knew it was there.
Oh no. That's the worst.
And he was like, it was good. I mean, now looking at it, now that I had tattoos, I'm like, ooh, that's bad. But and then he showed her and she was just like, I can't believe you got a tattoo. Like, she kind of broke away from that culture mm-hmm. of like tattoos are bad. Okay, you're in the military, because my brother was in the military. Mm-hmm. But like afterwards, you're gonna have to go apply for a job. Like,
so you're trying to keep that innocence,
right? Because a lot of jobs don't like tattoos. So it's 2021. hello. And so like, I'm so grateful that we work for where we work at, because we can show our tattoos.
Yeah.
And in fact, like, our managers like ask us the story behind our tattoos, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you kind of like, you take a step back because you're like, I don't usually get that in the response of like past jobs. I know like my past job, they're like, you can't color your hair, you can't get a tattoo. If you do, you have to hide it. If you color your hair, you have to wear a wig or something, or just keep your natural like hair color. And I was just like,
because that's what
I was like, my life corporate is
America. Yeah, right, because that's what corporate America says you have to do. That's what I think about that. So yeah, thank you, Stephanie, so much. I really enjoyed our talk. We did go a little deep, and I enjoyed that.
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and if anyone's listening that is going through any type of abuse, please reach out to someone. I know in today's culture, it's changing to where people are saying, yes, reach out. And so it's becoming like a quote unquote okay thing to do. And I want to push, like, even if it wasn't, like, you need to reach out. Like, if you're listening and you need help, reach out for help. If you don't know where to go, please message me on my Instagram. And I definitely will find a link for you to click on for an organization that will help you, because there's so many different organizations that are out there to help women and men, or anyone that is going through any type of abuse. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Follow me and our guest host on Instagram. Feel free to DM me if you have any ideas for future topics. Don't forget to share this podcast with your family and friends. Have an awesome day, everyone, and remember to always speak your truth.